Dateline Boston, England, the original Boston gang, a construction site on Bridge Street, right smack in the middle of town.
You on TV?
How about radio? You guys want to talk to radio for a minute?
No, not today.
What about tomorrow if we come back tomorrow? You good?
Got a remainder in here.
Really? Where?
Amos!
Outside.
Amos, somebody wants you.
It's the only remainder in Boston.
So I've gathered. Hey, Mitch, come here. Don't get yourself run over. All right, now no yelling while we're talking to him. Tell me your name.
Hamish.
From the United Kingdom, inside the European Union for now. Special reports the rest of this week. Brexit, finally, from American public media. This is Marketplace. In London today from the studios of the BBC, I'm Kai Rizdal. Good as always to have you along, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 27th of March. It has been 1,007 days since the people of the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. 1,007 days of political paralysis and economic who knows what. We're going to stipulate right up front here that the politics of Brexit, the politics of the United Kingdom and the European Union are not our story. So you are not going to find them on this program this week. But those political decisions have real meaning when the economy is on the line, which is how this past Saturday morning we found ourselves up in Boston, England, the most pro-Brexit city in this country, 3 hours by train from London, give or take, walking around, talking to people, including our friend Hamish.
So what do you do for a living? Tell me.
Stonemason.
Stonemason. How's business? I mean, you're working on a building now. Now, come on. We're trying to do a thing here.
Busy. Always busy. Yeah. It's busy.
So why do you want to remain?
I think it'd be better for the economy. If you're not bothered about the politics, it's better for the economy. We don't make anything anymore in Britain like we used to in the 60s. I think it'd be better for everybody. Just in general, keep things more stable.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
You're a young guy.
Yeah.
What about all your buds and your mates that you drink beer with on a Friday afternoon? What do they say?
They're up there.
They're all up there. And are they all Brexiteers?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. You have to ask them.
Well, I tried. They're just yelling at me.
Yeah, and they yell at me too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Brexit is going to happen, right? Eventually.
Yeah, it will happen.
And then what's it going to be like in here?
I don't know. No. That's nobody knows, do they? So. It could be good, could be bad, but it's going to happen. There's no stopping it now.
Are you from Boston originally?
No.
You came here from work?
Yeah.
How long ago?
I've been in this job 6 months here, so.
Yeah. So if I come back in a year,
yeah,
and Brexit has happened,
yeah,
what do you think it's going to be like?
Here, I don't think it'll change very much in Boston. But I think in London, Manchester, Liverpool, I should think things will have slowed down more than they already have done, due to austerity and things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part of this, right? Is the government austerity?
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait for these cars to go.
Yeah,
by.
Yeah.
So what do you think when you walk around and you see all these empty shops? What do you think?
I don't really think anything of it because it's been like that in Lincolnshire for. As long as I can remember.
Yeah.
But it's due to it being, it's just as cheap to go on a holiday to Spain as it is to have a holiday in England these days.
So until Brexit. And then once Brexit happens, right? In theory, the Spanish vacation is more expensive.
Yeah.
What are your options, right? I mean, are you an apprentice? Are you trained? Are you a journeyman?
I'm fully qualified.
Fully qualified stonemason.
Yeah.
But you're mobile. You can pick up your chisel, as it were, and go anywhere.
Yeah, I could do.
Yeah,
I could. So if it got to that stage, I could go anywhere in the world.
No, he's doing well. He's doing well. And look, whatever it is, I'll make it up. All right.
Yeah.
What? 50 an hour?
Oh man! All right, we gotta go. 50 an hour.
Yeah, rough it
what's,
up.
What's that per minute? We got 5 minutes going.
Yeah.
50 pound an hour. That's not bad.
I wish.
Yeah. Well, since he brought it up. How do you get? How much are you making? How do you get by here?
Well, you've got to get by with what you make. So you wouldn't do this if you didn't like it. You'd leave because that's crazy.
good for you. Hamish, thanks.
Yeah, pleasure.
Best of luck to you.
Yeah, cheers.
All right.
So that was Hamish. We thought it might be useful, interesting, maybe for some context, to hear what we were talking about on this program 1,006 days ago. That is the day after the Brexit vote. Here you go.
I think the word panic is wrong to use. The word uncertainty, however, is correct to use.
After 40 years of EU membership, the UK is headed for the departure lounge.
This is probably the worst self-inflicted policy wound that a country has done since the Second World War.
The UK will still be an important trading partner for the remaining EU countries.
It's a bit like the Eagles Hotel California, that you can check out any time you like, but you can never really leave.
You can never leave the global economy is the gist of that one. So that was then. We are here now. And a couple of days after we got here, I sat down with our BBC colleague Anu Anand. We went over some listener questions about Brexit. Those are coming up tomorrow. But I also asked her what I call the make me care question.
All right. So here's arguably the toughest question. If I'm an American consumer of business and economic news, make me care about Brexit.
All right. So I could say to you, I could have justifiably said to you 10 years ago, what's the U.S. subprime market got to do with me?
Ouch. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. And what really, what does it have to do with me? Here's the thing with Brexit. After the referendum vote, we haven't even left yet. After the referendum, the Dow lost 600 points. Okay, that's not small change.
Right.
$2 trillion of value was erased from global markets. So, yes, it's really far away. And oh, my God, is it detailed and boring, even for us. But it does have an impact. And you've got, you know, the American investment in companies in the UK is huge. Similarly, British investment in America is huge. So some people say that, you know, Brexit, whatever happens, that could affect up to 2 million jobs, British and American. Hard to say how many of which, but that's a lot of jobs. And again, global downturns affect us all, right?
They do indeed. More from Anu and the city of Boston, England, coming up in a minute. A couple of words about Boston, England here and why we went. First of all, Boston, Massachusetts. Students of American history might know the name John Cotton, one of the big Puritan clergymen in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, who left for the New World from his job as vicar at St. Botolph's Church in Boston, England. There is, in fact, a plaque out front of that church in his memory. Second of all, as I said a minute ago, Boston is the most pro-Brexit city in England, 75% in favor of leaving the European Union. So we got on a train on Saturday, and up we went.
The next train to arrive at platform 1 is the 1450.
At first glance, it's pretty clear the center of town has seen better days. Immigration is the big deal here, driven mostly by recent arrivals from the Eastern European countries that joined the EU in 2004. There are lots of closed storefronts, and the ones that are open, they're not all that busy.
This is pretty funny. You said fancy dress, and I thought you meant dresses. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Rachel.
Nice to see you. How are you?
Welcome.
No, that's all right. I'm going to stand here, and he's going to stick the microphone in your face. How about that?
No.
Oh, come on now. We'll just chit-chat for a little while. Man, tell me what this store is. What is this store?
It's all different stores. It's fancy dress, smoke and equipment, all sorts.
Fascinating. Could you do me a huge favor and turn the radio down? So, tell me about Boston, would you? What's this town like?
No comments.
Really?
It used to be a lovely town. It's not anymore.
What happened?
No comment. The immigration.
Really?
Yes.
How long have you been here, Rachel?
About 22 years.
Yeah. Do you like it?
No.
How come? What's going on?
Immigration. My little girl, I've got a little girl at nursery. I've got a girl at primary school. The little girl at primary school, 80% of her class is foreigners.
So you think it'd be better if Britain left the EU and you didn't have to deal with immigration?
No, I don't think we should. I did vote to come out of the EU due to just what's happened in Boston.
So let's say Brexit actually does happen, whenever that's going to be, right?
Right.
Because now we don't know.
No.
How long do you think it's going to take to change back to the way you want it?
I don't think it'll ever go back.
Huh.
Will it? It's not. It's never going to go back. They're not going to be able to get rid, are they? And I've got lots of foreign friends. I've got nothing against them. I go to places where I have things done and it's a foreign hairdressers, beauty salons. I don't know. It's just...
So if you don't think it's going to get better, right?
Yeah.
But there's going to be some economic pain with Brexit.
Yes.
What... Then what?
I have no idea. I don't know what will happen. Stores are closing already. We've got no high street around here anymore. You've only got to walk down here and every shop is...
I just did. It's pretty quiet.
Yep. There's no stores to buy anything. The only stores that there is, especially down this street, is foreign supermarkets. Eastern European supermarkets. Everywhere.
So what's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know what will happen because... They're not going to be able, even if we leave, they're not going to leave, are they? The people that's already here aren't going to leave. They're here.
Yeah.
So what's it going to change? It's not going to change anything.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You can turn the radio back on if you want
No, you're all right.
All right. Thanks. Be good.
Yeah. I don't know what will happen. Don't think anything can change, but we will see.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Nice to meet you.
Coming up.
Hiya. Could I have the $1.99 popcorn chicken snack box, please?
More from the people of Boston, UK. But first, let's do the numbers. All right, here you go, gang. Dow Industrials recovered a bit after a midday drop. Dow Industrials finished down a 10%, 32 points, 25,625. The NASDAQ off 0.6%, about 48 points, 76.43. The S&P 500 down 0.4, 13 points, closed at 28.05. We've been talking about Boston, UK throughout the show, so we thought we'd check in with companies based in Boston, Mass. Shares of General Electric down 1.3% today. Telecommunications maker American Tower Corporation lost just under 0.5%. Information management company Iron Mountain dropped 0.2%. Defense contractor Raytheon down about 0.6% today. Bond prices rose. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note dropped to 2.38%. Man, I know I've been gone for a while, but 38%, holy cow. You're listening to Marketplace.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. On the podcast, How I Built This, host Guy Raz talks to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt, failure, and how they were able to overcome setbacks on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. Listen early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more business content like this, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. Back now to our special coverage of Brexit, our day trip up to Boston, England last weekend. Saturday, it turns out, is market day in Boston.
Got two lovely pineapples there.
There's a farmer's market, stalls selling everything from pliers to scarves and socks. Also, a butcher truck with a very amplified butcher selling his wares.
Legs of lamb, nice legs of lamb, topside beef.
And then on Church Street, heading down to St. Botolph's, the church John Cotton was the vicar at from earlier in the show, there is Lovelace's Flowers.
So do me a favor and tell me who you are.
Maxine Hill.
And is this your store, Maxine?
Yes, it is, yeah.
How long have you had it?
20-odd years.
Wow. How's business?
Okay, not bad. Yeah, fine.
You sound surprised when you say that.
Well, it's never going to be like it was, is it? But it's okay for the time we are.
Well, tell me how it was.
Well, it used to be a lot better before supermarkets started selling flowers and doing all sorts of things like that. So obviously your local florist shop, they're going to miss out somewhere along the line, aren't they?
So do me a favor and put this local flower shop in the global trade conversation.
Right.
This Brexit thing and the extension and who knows what's going to happen, does that matter in your daily life?
No, not at all.
Do you think it's going to matter in the life of the city of Boston, England?
I wouldn't have thought so, no. I really wouldn't have thought so. I can't see why. I mean, we were the biggest populated county that actually voted to get out of Brexit.
So why do you think that was?
I would think probably the huge influx of EU citizens. You know, if anybody comes here to earn money, so be it. But we don't really need all the hangers-on.
And is that how you voted, by the way, to leave?
I did leave, yeah. I did vote to leave. Yeah.
And it was why?
I do believe in world trade. I don't believe that we should be stuck with just the EU. That was my big thing. The fact that they had open borders, I didn't agree with that. But basically because of the huge influx of EU citizens and the fact that our own kids can't really get jobs.
Yeah. So this was an immigration vote for you, not economic
really.
Or anything else?
Yeah. Which I think 99% of the county would have voted the same way.
Are you going to be irritated if what winds up happening is a series of delays and then some more delays and then the whole idea of Brexit is
kind of... Exactly, I will. Because, democracy will have just gone straight out the window, won't it? What was the point of it in the first place? If that is what they had in mind. I mean, we don't know really the full story, do we? Because we don't get to know.
Do you have kids?
I do.
They're, 25, 30-ish, right?
Yeah, 30s, all in the 30s.
How did they vote?
Leave.
They did?
Yeah.
Are they around here? Same basic reason?
Yeah, they're all living the same, yeah.
Yeah.
In the country and outside.
Thanks for your time, ladies.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Not at all. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A right turn out the front door of Maxine's place gets us back up to Market Square. There we ran into Stacey Andrew. She is 26 years old, on her lunch break from a local pawn shop, and she's headed to KFC.
You've been here your whole life?
Yes.
What's it like growing up in Boston?
I don't really. It is nice. Like, it used to be really green.
Yeah.
Everything's now built on.
Yeah.
It's been really different. It's lots closed down. Like, for more, I'd say, if you was to go down West Street and High Street, it's very European, so that's thriving. But I think for people that's lived here my whole life, like our market and our shops, you're lucky to be my age and have a full-time job. There is no jobs.
How old are you?
26.
Yeah.
So unless you're going to go to university and venture out, but if you don't want to do that and you just want to stay around your hometown, it's harder because you don't want to be my age and go into a four-hour job. It's not beneficial for you.
Do you think Brexit's going to make a difference one way or the other?
I would like to think so. I voted out. I'm quite happy to say I did vote out. But that's because, like, when I was growing up, there was, like... When I was growing up, at 14, I had a paper round. I worked in a bridal shop at the weekend. When I left school, I went straight into retail. Retail was dying, so I went into bar work because it was, bar work doesn't really die. Well, I say that, but then you look around this place.
And the pubs are
empty.
Closed.
Yes,
yeah.
They're closing.
Let's get you in line. I don't want you to miss your lunch hour. So how do you think Brexit is going to make it better? That's the question.
I would like to think... without being disrespectful, that it's going to concentrate on maybe people my age group or people that have been older that have gone into important jobs. Sort of think more about the people. I think that would be beneficial.
Please.
Hiya. Could I have the $1.99 popcorn chicken snack box, please? Eating in, please. And could I have fizzy Fanta as well, please? Yes, please.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tango's good, sir. And no, thank you. And I know a lot of people are probably going to say that you can blame it on the Europeans, but you can't blame it on the Europeans because they come here for a better life And that's not their fault for wanting to do that. You can't, you know, if we were in that boat, we would we'd do that. Of course you would. You're human, aren't you? You want a better life for your family.
Stacey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'll let you get back to your lunch.
Thank you so
Take
much.
Care.
Thank you. Thank
Have
you so
nice
much.
Time.
No problem.
So that was our Saturday in Boston. A Remainer, some Leavers, and not a whole lot of agreement on what happens once Brexit does finally happen. Also, for what it's worth, a whole bunch of people who were just sick and tired of Brexit and didn't want to talk to us at all. After a quick break, a trip out to the city of Bath, and more from our BBC colleague, Anu Anand. So as I said, Saturday was Boston, Sunday was a train ride out to the city of Bath. It's touristy, it's picturesque, loads and loads of history out there. Our BBC colleague Anu Anand met us at the train station and showed us around a bit.
We were walking up here from the train station where you met us, and we were chit-chatting, as people do, and you were pointing out the retail revival that's happened in the last, you know, number of years in this town. But they are all, most of them, chains. There's a Laura Ashley, there's a Tommy Hilfiger. I'm not seeing any Bath local businesses.
In a way, Bath is also kind of going through the same economic heartaches that everyone else is, in the sense that, you know, the local politicians are all kind of geared towards bringing in those big retailers who pay really nice, big, juicy rents to the detriment of people who actually live here, who find it exorbitantly expensive to run a business and pay the taxes and the rents. I just walk past a stationery store that's been here for several generations. Yeah. It's shut.
Man.
And so there is a real conversation going on about how do we change that? Do we change our politics? How do we get the politicians to change the economics? How do we take back control from big chains to local people?
Which is, in a way, the story of Brexit, right? Because the people who voted to leave said, we're going to get back to that.
It is the story of Brexit. And I think the difference is just that, you know, Leave and Remain see that problem through different prisms. Leave see the problem as being, you know, immigration and the European Union and globalization, and these local troubles are all part of one thing. And I think for Remain, they see the cultural exchange and the trading exchange as a positive thing, and that these economic problems are perhaps related to something else, and that you can kind of have both. You can have the EU, but you can also maybe take back some local control.
This vote, for a lot of people, was not about economics. It was not about regulation. It was not about, you know, is my business going to be better off? It was about who's coming to the UK. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Well, you know, we're sitting in Bath, and this is a perfect example of all the different kinds of people who come. You get academics and business people from the EU and all over the world, but you also get a lot of working class people who come here to, you know, do the jobs that people here don't want to do, work in care homes and do overnight shifts at hotels. Now, this place voted Remain, doesn't seem to have a problem. But
yeah, by a bunch, right? Like 58%.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. This is a drop of Remain in a sea of Leave. But a lot of communities, you know, even in London, I kind of hear this. There are lots of parents and kids who don't speak English, that when they go to their free healthcare, you know, the doctor's office, there's a lot more people. And I think, you know, it is natural for people anywhere in the world to equate more competition with somehow I have less opportunity, even if that isn't necessarily, the two aren't directly correlated. It hasn't just been about, oh, people are taking our jobs or there's lots of people. It's like, you know, I don't recognize my hometown anymore. It just feels different.
Anu Anand in Bath on Sunday, I think it was. She is back tomorrow. We have been Instagramming like crazy over here. Some from me, some from the people we have talked to. Check us out. We're Marketplace APM on Instagram. Also, your Brexit questions, Anu's answers, are on our website. That's at marketplace.org. This final note on the way out today, in which we fall back on an old journalistic cliche in service of our Brexit coverage. Cab drivers, as every man, are often the easy way out, but sometimes you get a really good one, like we did Tuesday back here in London. Michael Papamichael is his name. We got to talking. First of all, about his cab. It's a really nice one. And then, as you'll hear, about the topic du jour.
So the question is, what do you do? Do you own this or do you rent it?
It doesn't matter, does it? It'll be my cab regardless.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I own it.
You own it. Can I ask you an unrelated question?
You can ask me as many questions as you like. It's a long journey, so you get... But expect answers, though, yeah?
No, that's
good.
Don't
expect the answers you want to hear.
Well, I expect the answers you're going to give. I'm going to try this one. You ready? 5 words or less. How do you feel about Brexit?
That's 4 words.
No, you got to say them out loud, man. This is radio.
No, I'm working out. You said 5 right. Words, yeah?
All right, yeah. Five words or less.
No. If I put it, yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, no, we'll give you 6. I ask CEOs of big companies that question, and they take forever, so don't feel bad about 6.
No, 6, it just covers it. Yeah. Straight to the point.
All right, we got to go. Speaking of Forex, by the way, the pound's been pretty steady lately, in case anybody noticed. The Dow off a 10% today, 32 points to the downside. The NASDAQ off 0.6%, 48 points. S&P 500 slipped 0.4%, 13 points. Our media production team includes Sarah Begare, Jake Gorski, Drew Jostad, Jeff Peters, Dan Powell, Daniel Ramirez, Charlton Thorpe, and Ben Tolliday. I'm Kai Rizdahl in London. We are back here tomorrow. Everybody, we'll see you then. This is APM.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.